morning, everybody. Good morning, Lou.
Good morning. Good morning.
Welcome back, everybody. So today we are going to be talking about what is the Atman. I was talking about this over one of these past weekends to somebody who didn't know very much, had been following us on Facebook, right, Lou?
Yes.
And this person said, so basically Atman is inside you. It's like electricity going to a bulb.
Right.
I said, yes, in a way. He says, and so Atman does nothing, feels nothing, and is basically just electricity. And I thought to myself that I should probably explain that Atman is not just pure electricity, right? I mean, electricity has no feelings. It has no consciousness. Atman is electricity because it enlivens us, it gives us life.
Mm-hmm.
But in addition, it's a lot more. And that's what I thought I should explain. Because
this is great, because I've struggled with this myself, wondering about the consciousness of the Atman and, you know, its actions, its feelings, whether it has any or not, or whether it's just a pure power source. You've described it as gasoline in a car.
Right.
Yeah.
So essentially, the Atman is within us, and it has no decision-making. It doesn't decide. It doesn't tell us to do bad things or do good things. That comes with our own vasanas, our own desires. Those we're born with. That's what determines what kind of a person we're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
The vasanas, we'll talk about this when we're talking about the Gita. I don't want to get far afield with
right.
that, because the vasanas, if they're good vasanas, then you're going to be a good person. If they're not good vasanas, you're a cruel, unkind person. You're going to have that kind of a personality because your vasanas are like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the Atman doesn't tell you what to do. Those come from your vasanas. The Atman doesn't tell you. Vedanta says that in order to get to Brahman, because in the last verse, I think it was verse 15, verse 16, where it says they're on a wheel, a chakram, and you want to get back to that.
Right.
I think we talked about this in the last episode, where in order to get back to being Brahman again, from being a human being, I said we have to do more non-selfish deeds. We
right.
have to get, by doing that, you burn up the vasanas. So the question that was asked to me is to say, well, how do you get to be Brahman? And one thing that we need to do is to start to learn ourselves, our Atman. Because if you get to know yourself with a small s, not the capital,
right.
but as you start to get to know yourself, you can then go deeper to start to look for the big S, the capital S self, Atman. If you know your Atman, you know Brahman. And if you know Brahman, you're there, you're self-realized. So Atman is considered, if you take a pot and you say there's space inside the pot.
Right.
And the space inside the pot says, oh, look at me, I'm so great because I'm a big pot. That little pot next to me is a small pot. That space is small. But if the space breaks, if the pot breaks, and
right.
this pot space becomes part of the huge space, it says, whoa, I'm part of this whole room here. And then it realizes not only the room, but the entire universe, all space is part of it. It is part of that space. So that big space, we've talked about this before, is Brahman.
Mm-hmm.
And the small pot space is Atman. So I have an Atman that enlivens me. Lou, you have an Atman.
Mm-hmm.
All of us listening, we have an Atman. Now, the difference is that it is right there within us, but we don't know it, right? It's like those movies, you know, where you say, is it like in Star Wars? All of a sudden, you come to find out that, and I don't want to give any secrets away to those people who haven't seen Star Wars, but you say, what? You're my father?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Or you see a movie where, you know, this person says, I didn't know I was adopted. I want to go find my real mother, my genuine mother.
Right.
And it turns out that this is the maid who's been taking care of him all along. She's there pretending to be a maid, but she's really his real natural mother. So similarly, we're looking for everywhere to say, how can I get back to God, to Brahman, when really it's right there within you. Somebody just has to introduce you to it. It is always there. We never knew it. I heard this somewhere, read this. I don't know who wrote it, but it says, we think we are human beings in search of a spiritual experience. The truth is, we are spiritual beings having a human experience.
Yeah.
So Brahman says, I want to have a human experience, you know? And Brahman says, I want to have no feelings. And then Brahman presents itself, himself, as a human being. And then we go back looking for a spiritual experience, when reality is that we are that spiritual experience, just having a human experience right now. We want to get back there. So what we do is we're looking for sense feelings, pleasures of the eyes, pleasures of the tongue, pleasures of the mouth, pleasures of the body,
yeah.
Money, fame for our intellect, power, reputation, love. These are all from the mind, the body, the intellect, and they're like band-aids. They give you relief for a short period of time, the money, the fame, but you get neutralized to it very quickly. It's beyond you. To get true happiness, which is complete bliss all the time, forever, you need to be aware of yourself, Brahman. And Vedanta says it's all you, with a capital Y. You are the Atman. You are the Brahman. If you get there, you will find it. So the Chandogya Upanishad says, Tat Tvam Asi. You are that, meaning you are that, meaning Atman or Brahman. And there are four Mahavakyas. Mahavakya is a big proclamation. Aham Brahmasmi is another, means I am Brahman. Prajnanyam Brahman is another. And Aham Asmi Brahman is the fourth. Know yourself, know your Atma, you get to know Brahman, and then you get to know everything. So what do we know about ourselves? We know that there is a waking state, a dream state, a deep sleep state, but there is a fourth state. That is really where we need to go. The first state, waking state, we're awake, I'm the knower, I'm the subject. What I'm doing right now, or is talking to you, Lou, yes. is the object. So the world is the object, I am the subject. That's the waking state. That's the most gross level. At a slightly more subtle level is the dream state, where it's I'm asleep, I'm dreaming. Everything in the dream world looks to me just like it looks right now as I'm speaking to you. I think it's real. In my dream, I think that dream is very real.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to dream, I have to be asleep. I have to have a mind. And the minute I wake up, the dream world disappears. That's a key here in this philosophy that we learn, that the dream world belongs to the mind, so the waking world may also belong to something else. That's a later point. So this dream state is slightly more subtle than the waking state,
mm-hmm.
and is known as the sukshma world. Just like sukshma buddhi is a subtle buddhi, this is a dream state. The deep sleep state is also known as the causal state, which is the causal world, during which the vasanas are produced, deep sleep, and you're sleeping, you don't know about dream, the dreamer, the sleeper, and the deep sleep state are combined into one. You don't know anything. But when you wake up, you're aware that you were sleeping deeply, because what do we say? Because people may say, well, I wasn't existing at that time.
Yeah.
You were, because you knew when you wake up, you say, oh my God, I slept so soundly. I was deep asleep. I didn't know anything. So you didn't know anything consciously, but you knew that you were fast asleep, right? So that awareness was there. Then comes the fourth state, which is Turiya. The fourth state is also known as Bodhi or Samadhi. It is really consciousness or Atman. That's really the awareness, the consciousness. So that consciousness is also known as awareness, is also known as knowledge. So we can call it any one of these. Let's call it knowledge or awareness for now. What does it depend on? What does this consciousness or awareness depend on? I, the awareness, I am calling myself I with a capital I, which is the awareness. I'm not the body.
Right.
I'm not the mind. I'm not the intellect. I am really the awareness that's behind all of this, as we saw with the deep sleep. I am aware of the mind. I'm aware of the body. I'm aware of the intellect. Therefore, I, with a capital I, say, I perceive, I see, I smell, I taste, I conceive, I remember, okay? I want, I love, I respect. I'm covering the intellect, the mind, and the body.
Right.
And in Sanskrit, it says that's the tripati, which is the three Ks, the knower, the known, and the knowledge of the known. So knower is me as the waker. I'm awake. I know, right? I use my instruments of knowledge, which are my eyes, ears, mind, to find out different things, to find out the knowledge. The objects of knowledge are the things in the world that need to be known and the things beyond the world that need to be known. And knowledge is what I gain once I get this. So the knower, the known, and the knowledge. The next thing that Vedanta talks about is that existence depends on knowledge of. So you say, well, I want to go to India. You say, well, because it exists, India, I have knowledge of it, right?
Right.
But the other way, what Vedanta says, and this is controversial, that India wouldn't exist if you had no knowledge of it. A little puzzling, right?
If a tree falls in the forest and no one's there to hear it, does it exist? Same question.
Sort of.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So if I said to you, Lou, would you want to come with me to the Bahamas, to the Caribbean? You'd say, oh, yeah, I've never been there, but I've heard of it. Mm-hmm. I know about it.
Yep.
I've heard descriptions of it. It's beautiful. Beautiful blue ocean, beaches. Yes, I'd like to go. But if I said, would you like to go with me to a planet called XYZ?
Yeah.
And you said, where is it? I don't know. You don't know where it is? No. What is it like? I don't know.
Right.
What does it look like? I don't know. What does it feel like? No. How do I get there? I don't know. I don't know anything about that. You said, no, I don't want to. It doesn't exist.
Yeah, you're making that up. It doesn't exist.
You're making it up.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist. So the reverse is also true. If I say, come to India, but you've never heard of the place, you don't know anything about it, I can't tell you where it is, what it is, how does it look, how do you get there, what it feels like once you get there, then it doesn't exist because I cannot know about it. So
right.
Knowledge, existence depends on knowledge of. In a dream, objects only exist because you are in the dream.
Mm-hmm.
Once you wake up, the objects disappear. Similarly, what Vedanta says is that this whole world, all these objects, really only aware. This is a much deeper state, but it needs to be aware of because the Atman is really being aware of these things makes them exist.
Hmm.
So we are existing because of the knowledge that we have of this. It's deep. But if you give it some thought, you will think about it. So in a dream, objects only exist because we're dreaming. The minute you wake up, the objects disappear. Similarly, things cannot exist apart from awareness. So if you don't have awareness of them, they don't exist. Knowledge cannot exist without a knower. One deeper state, okay? Before we said the existence of objects depends on knowledge. So if I say planet XYZ, but I know nothing about it, it doesn't exist. Knowledge cannot exist without a knower. So if there's no knower, you can't have knowledge.
Right.
And the knower cannot be aware of, have this knowledge, that three-party knower, known, and the knowledge, if there's no awareness of or consciousness. So that last part is important. The knower depends on consciousness, awareness, knowledge in order to know.
Right.
I can't know if I don't have awareness or consciousness. Without the eyes, if my eyes are not there, I'm aware that I'm blind.
Yep.
I can't see, but I'm still aware that I can't see. Without my ears, I'm aware that I cannot hear.
Right.
I'm aware that I cannot hear. So the awareness is there, but my ears are not there. The instruments of knowledge, as I described before, are not there, but everything else is there. And if that awareness is taken away, I'm blank. Yes. I'm dead, right?
Right.
So it's the awareness that brings about this knowledge. So remember one of our sessions before we gave the analogy of a hot potato?
Yes.
You take a potato, just for those of you who are not aware of it, you take a potato, you feel it, it's cold. And you say, I need to boil this. So you take a fire, you light it on the gas, you put a pot on it, you put water in it, and the water is cold, the pot is cold, the fire is hot, and you put the cold potato in it. You wait for a few minutes, the pot gets hot, boiling, the water gets hot, boiling, and then the potato starts to boil, really hot, and then you take the potato out, you say, ow, this potato is hot.
Yeah.
This potato has heat in it. That heat, according to Vedanta, is a false heat, because the potato doesn't have heat within itself.
Right.
So where did the potato get the heat from? Potato got the heat from the hot water.
Mm-hmm.
The water doesn't have heat. Where did the water get its heat from? From the pan. But the pan doesn't have heat. Where did the pan get the heat from? All of these have false heat.
Right.
Because after a while, the heat goes away. It just disappears. It becomes cold again. But the fire, which is hot, which gave its heat away to all of these things, is always hot. It's constantly hot. You cannot take the heat away from it. That's true heat. So the false heat of the potato is known as mithya in Sanskrit. The true heat is of the fire. Similarly, in existence, now we're going back to existence, consciousness alone, the awareness, that consciousness that says, I am aware that I am blind, I am aware that I'm deaf, I am aware that I'm dreaming, I am aware this is a bad dream. You know, oftentimes I've had dreams which are bad, and I say, oh my God, this is such a bad dream.
Yeah.
Part of me says, no, it's just a dream. I say, oh, thank God, okay, keep dreaming. I don't know if that happens to everybody. They say you don't get it, but I've been, so I'm aware that I'm dreaming.
Right.
I'm aware. So consciousness alone, that awareness is real. That's the Atman. The knower, which is me, and the known is false. It only exists like the potato or the pan or the hot water because of consciousness.
Mm.
This knower and the known come in pairs, but the false heat of the potato, the false heat of the water and the false heat of the pan is the falseness. And this exactly is what we were saying before, that existence depends on knowledge of, right? So just
right.
like the potato can't be hot unless you have the fire, the existence cannot be there unless you have the consciousness. Things cannot exist apart from that consciousness. So I hope I've confused everybody enough. Sorry. But this is a taste of what Atman is. Like the question that I was asked, is Atman just pure electricity? Does it just give, like you said before, Lou, is it just gasoline in a car making the car move? And up to now, that was the explanation that I used to use. But then when I realized that it's confusing if you think of it just pure electricity, because it has a lot more. As it enlivens the body, the mind, it has a lot more. Now, there's other concepts that we haven't even touched on here, which is karma,
Right.
Now, karma means if I do something bad, I am going to repay the price by having the same. Now, if I do something good, I will get repaid in the same kind. That karma is also dependent on this consciousness, this Brahman, this Atman. All of this existence, this whole world, these trees, the sky, the fact that the planets for millions of years are going in exactly the same speed, same circuits, same everything, all of this depends on Brahman. So is that just pure electricity? Electricity can't do that.
Right.
So there has to be something deeper to this than, and I don't know what it is. I'm just, like I said before many times, I'm just in kindergarten trying to make this simple for everybody and hoping that you take this from me and then study it deeper so maybe you can explain it to me.
The part of this that was compelling for me was we were talking about whether we were spiritual beings and having a human experience. And
right.
I think that's true, and I think it's a great way to look at life. And I think we need to differentiate what's going on in us that is the human and what's going on in us that is spiritual. And I think that's a very important point. So that, like, for example, when you were talking about I'm aware that I'm blind, you're not saying you are blind. You're saying I'm aware that I'm blind. And that's the spiritual part. That's the spiritual part showing its awareness as opposed to the human part saying I'm blind. Well, somebody is observing that you're blind. Who is that? That's the spiritual part.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Good.
So I like that's the part that I'm going to latch on, that we need to define what is the human experience part of us and what is the spiritual part of us.
Yeah, Vedanta says we go through life identifying with the body and the mind and the intellect.
It's so loud in our existence.
That is me. That is I. But it's not.
The human experience is so loud in our existence, right? It's right what's in front of us. It's very obvious. It's static. And we've got to get behind the static and get to the spiritual part of it.
And this is why I'm glad that you're watching this. I'm glad that you're listening to this, because it will benefit you greatly. If it only stirs some curiosity in you to go further, and you then go further, it's ideal.
And that's
my hope.
And if you do this a lot, where you sit there and you say, most people say, I'm afraid. And it's not, I'm aware I'm afraid. And that gets you to the spiritual part, as opposed, you're not afraid. That's not who you are. That's your body being afraid. That's your mind, your intellect being afraid. It's not the spiritual part of you. Yeah.
You got it, Lou.
All right. Excellent.
You're on your way to self-realization.
I'm trying. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, many other podcast outlets. If you're watching this on Facebook, if you're listening to us on the podcast, audio only, head on over to the Facebook page, The Gita, Memoirs of a Psychiatrist. You can leave messages, have a conversation with us, tell us what you think, tell us what you'd like to know, ask questions that you have. That's a good place to communicate with us on the Facebook side. So make sure you're going to Facebook and using the podcast as well.
Thank you very much.